My desire tonight is to give you a pep talk. Me and God want to give you a pep talk. an encouragement pep talk for 2008. And so there's just some things really on my heart. A lot of times, if you've been here before, you know this, but a lot of times I will use PowerPoint and I'll have a lot of scriptures up there. Tonight, I'll refer to scriptures a lot, but I'm probably not going to go into a lot of scriptures. I'm really going to just share some things on my heart with you and on God's heart for you. And again, at times I will just make reference to where it is in scripture, just so you know I'm not making it up, you know. So, but I would like to start by just reading to you the prophetic word that I gave in an email a couple days ago. And the first time this came out was last Wednesday when I was singing at the House of Prayer. I do a two-hour worship set at the House of Prayer in Dublin. And so as we were singing, a lot of times things just start coming forth. And I started singing about this new wine and this what God wanted to do in 2008. And then the next day when I was spending time with the Lord, that's when he just kind of expanded on that and shared more. So I started to write it down. And this is for all of you. So he says to you, my child, we are going places together this year. Some places we go this year, you will recognize as dreams that you had at one time in your life and you thought were dead, but they are not. I am the God of resurrection and new life. Some places that we go this year will totally surprise you because I am a father who loves to thrill you with above and beyond all that you could ask or imagine. Do not despair, thinking that the same old things are going to happen in your life this year. That you will be stuck in the same old places. I am the God of the new. Same old is not my calling card. Hopelessness is not what I have deposited in you. I have given you an assurance deep within you to know that I am good, to know that I am for you, and to know that I have exceptional plans for your life starting right now. I am pouring out new wine for us to taste together. In fact, I have reserved a choice vintage bottle in my heavenly wine cellars for 2008 just for you. That is just for each one of you. It tastes like sweet victory. Inhale the fragrance of my pleasure for you. Let my grace and tenderness and mercy roll over your tongue. Savor the intimacy coming this year with me. This year, I am opening the eyes of your heart wider than ever to know that this is all true. And my jealous love for you will accomplish this. That last part, this year I'm opening up the eyes of your heart wider than ever. There is something that the Lord was showing me about this year. Him opening up to us truth more clearly than we've ever seen it before. Because that's the only way we're going to get it. Yeah. You know, we kind of know the truth. We hear it, and then it's gone. You know, we agree for a while, and then it's gone. But see, God's saying enough of that, because he really wants a bride who knows continuously that the Father's in love, that we have a groom, Jesus, who's always in love with us, not just sometimes, but always. But see, we can't really, really get that unless He really, really opens the truth up to us. It's our choice to grab onto it. But Jesus said, the Lord said that He's going to finish what He started in us, right? So if we're not quite getting it, we can do one of two things. We can either try harder, whip ourselves more for not being where we want to be. How many of you have tried that? Has it worked for you? Or we can believe God that He really, really, really wants us to get this more than we really, really, really want it. And He says, for that reason, I am the one answering your prayers, opening the eyes of your heart so that you will know truth, and that truth will set you free. But see, He's the one. This is what I'm feeling and been sensing inside of myself, is that this is just that time. The only way we're going to get it is because He determines that He's going to open up the truth for us more than He ever has before, make it so clear that we can't miss it. Last week I said this, but I want to repeat it again, because this was a word that God gave to me, but I just gave it to all of you last week. And I want to remind you again, this was the word. You are not a time waster, but you are a history maker. I heard some of you repeat it. That's good. That means it's getting in here. You are not a time waster. You are a history maker. All right, so we'll make it I. You ready? I am not a time waster. I am a history maker. Now let me explain that. History makers, those who change history for the kingdom, know their God. The word says that those who know God do great exploits. And so it's never a waste of time to spend it with God. Never. What we're talking about is the other time we waste, just doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff, or wasting time because we are so bored and we're looking for something. And so we keep going back to things thinking they're going to fill us. And of course they never do. Only the Lord does. And so we're not, if He doesn't open our eyes, this is kind of a theme here tonight. If He doesn't open our eyes, which He's saying, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this in a brand new way now for you. If He doesn't do that, then we're still bored. We're like, God, I really want you, but I don't know how to get you. So I'm just going to start filling my time with stuff and, you know, watch more TV and whatever it is, you know, just stuff. And God says, I want my bride. Yeah. I want you. Now, and we have to understand, the only way that we're going to find Him is when He reveals Himself. But He's saying, and He's been revealing Himself, I know that, but He's saying more than ever. More than ever. Here's another thing that goes along with this about being a history maker that is really important, that God's going to make you get this. He really is. And that is that you have no lack. I have no lack. I have no lack to accomplish all that God has prepared for me to do. Isn't that true? You have no lack. See, if God, and again, God has to get us out of the old mindset that we've been in for so long of why we can't do this or that, or how we don't have these resources or that. The whole loaves and fishes thing. Jesus was showing the Father's heart in everything He did. And they took a little bit. And what did heaven do when God breathed on that? It was excessive. It was way more than that crowd needed. I've never heard this or done the math or anything, but can you, you know, with as many people as there were, thousands, can you imagine how many pounds of fish and bread they needed? I mean, we don't really think about it. They just had one loaf, you know, one little fish, and they fed thousands. I don't know. Somebody's got to do the math on that. But 2,500 pounds of fish and bread. Sounds good to me. Just fish. A lot. That's right, because that'd be a half a pound per serving. That's it. That's right. The point is, a lot out of a little bit. And it was totally supernatural. So when we start thinking in terms of what we can't do because we don't have, we have missed the whole point. There are people alive today who have it in their heart because God's deposited it in their heart that they're going to provide the answer for third world countries to have food, to have plenty. And there's nothing wrong with this, but it's not about, you know, selling cookies in order to, you know, raise money to send. That's a good thing. I'm not putting that down. But I'm talking about people who are getting it, who God's saying, I'm waiting for somebody to get this thing. That heaven can deposit everything it wants to, wherever, whenever it wants to, but it's looking for agreement. God's looking for agreement. Our misperception, this is the misperception, and it's put out there every single day in the newspaper, in the news, is that there are limited resources here on the earth. Right? I mean, we're hearing that all the time. There's just not enough. Now 6 billion, almost 7 billion people. There's not enough. You're right. In the world's way of thinking, there's absolutely not enough. So who's going to come along and do what Jesus did, who said we get to do what he did, and multiply loaves and fish? There are so many applications to that in your life. But I'm telling you, in your life, there is no lack. And the only way we're going to get this is for God to reveal the truth more clearly than ever before, that he is very able to supply all of our needs. Not only able, but he wants to. And sometimes we get stuck because all we're thinking about is what I need, right? We can't get past, well, how am I supposed to help all them when I don't even have enough money for food for next week or whatever it is, you know? So Jesus told a little parable, didn't he? About lilies in the field. And about the birds of the air, and says, hey, guess what? God takes care of them and they don't even think about it. He says, that's not your concern. I promise you I would take care of you. But our problem is often we can't get past that concern. He's saying, no, I told you I'd take care of you. Look out there. Look out to the harvest. Look to the people that I so love. Ask me what I want to do for them, and then ask me to do it. See, it's taking us past our own feeling of need and limitation. And I'm telling you, where we're going in these new places, and no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens on the earth, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some weird things are going to happen. Don't be afraid. Why? Because you have the answer living inside of you. The world's going to be looking for an answer. And I'm telling you, this is key. You ready for this? It's not going to come by electing the right president. Do we need to release the cats? Do we need to release the cats? Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Oops. So the answers are going to come from those where Christ dwells in you. And you know, and I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is super, super smart. He's brilliant. And he lives in you. He has every answer to every problem in the world, including your own. And he lives in you. So that's why it gets back to the history makers are those who know their God. They're the ones, that's why it's never wasting time. In fact, we've all got to learn to take more time doing what to our natural mind things like that seems like it's wasting time, but it's absolutely not. It's doing just the opposite. The more you know your God, the more amazing things you're going to do. Guaranteed. That's why Jesus hung out with his Father every morning. He had a lot to do in 3 years. But he knew his Father. All right, here's another one. This was another one that the Lord gave to me. I'll say it as an I statement, and then about you. But this is what he told me, or what I sensed in my heart. I do not live in regret. I live in awe of a God who wants me and covers me. This is so important, because to go where the Lord's calling you to go, where he's taking you this year, you can't live in regret. You cannot live in the past mistakes. In 2 Timothy 2:20-21, it talks about how there's vessels that are used for different purposes, some for honor, some for dishonor. And the point I want to make to all of you is this, that you are vessels held in honor, dedicated and fit for the master, ready for every good work. It's who you are. Honestly, if you think about that, and if you go read that whole passage later in 2 Timothy, you can see where those vessels that are used for honorable purposes are because they know who they are. They're just walking in what they were created to be. Those who are used for dishonor, they've totally forgotten who they are. They've just forgotten. So God says, I still love you, but you know, the things that I would use you for, until you know who you are, you're not going to be walking those things out. So this is why we've got to know who we are. And this is why God's saying, I'm going to show you who you are. And so I go back to the very last thing. God is opening your eyes to see clearer than you have ever before seen the truth of who you are in Christ. And this is how strongholds are going to be broken. As you hear about strongholds, right? Things that just seem to have a grip on you that you just can't seem to get loose of. And sometimes you have prayer, you have deliverance prayer. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. Like, what is wrong? You know what? It is the truth that sets you free. And this is what I heard from the Lord, is that he's breaking strongholds. He will do it by revealing his truth to you. Of how much he loves you, of what he has done, what Christ has done for you. So, it's not about redoubling your efforts. Hear me on this, okay? It's not about redoubling your efforts for God not to sin. Do you know how, I mean, I speak this firsthand because, I mean, everything I tell you is because I'm learning by living, right? How many of us go through our day and we gauge our day on whether or not we were able to keep from sinning in a certain area, that was just like a really good day? Do you know that that's missing the whole point? Honestly. And if that becomes your focus, life is not fun. The point is that Christ has done it all for you. He has totally set you free. And the point of life is intimacy with God. You can go through a day and not sin in a certain area and have no enjoyment whatsoever. And then it's a matter of time before, you know, you start going, oh, well, that didn't work. That sure didn't satisfy. See, you see what I'm saying? The absence of sin, trying not to sin, isn't the answer. It's enjoying God. Enjoy him. Know who you are. And those who know who they are, getting back to that 2 Timothy passage, they're the ones used in honor because they aren't going back into stuff that doesn't satisfy them anymore. Once we know who we are, once we know what God really, really thinks of us and start enjoying him. I'm just telling you. Just telling you the truth. Only because I've tried the other way. I couldn't tell you if I didn't really know. Let me just, this is a couple of words that came out on the Elijah list that really struck me because they're really were in line with some of the things that I just said. Okay, this one is Bill and Marsha Burns, who I really don't know, but some of their words really resonated with my spirit. These are all found on the Elijah List. If you ever want to look later, ElijahList.com, I believe. And this one was from January 2nd. So they're saying, God is saying through them, God says, you will arise to a new level of overcoming. You have already begun to see patterns in your life that have consistently opened the door to the enemy's work against you. These patterns will become increasingly apparent to you as you progress and punish disobedience with your obedience. So rejoice in this process. These things, you see, these things, you know, strongholds, why is this happening? Oh, God, I want freedom. He's the one that has to show you, make it extremely apparent to you, the things that are not God, the things that are not what you want in life. And then he's the one that has to show you himself so that you cling to something else. If you look back, you can see that victory has come more speedily than in times past. This is because you have learned to release your anger and bitterness and have refused the victim position. This is so key. Do you want to experience victory in your life?
Yes.
Of course you do. My admonition to you is refuse to be a victim. Absolutely refuse to be a victim. We have seen so many people in this place massively changed, massively built up into believing who they are. Totally transformed into a new person. That's most people. They're growing fast. In some cases, and I don't know exactly why, but there are some people who just refuse to let go of that victim mentality. And any time that you pray, you will hear the same story again and again and again. Now, I don't reject them in any way, but I lovingly tell them, you know what? Every time you rehearse that, you're bringing it up fresh as today. Is that really what you want? So, I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just saying this is something. Remember the very first thing I said. This is a year where God is bringing truth to you in a way that's more clear than you've ever seen it before, so that you can hang on to it and just launch in victory. So what I'm saying is even that victim mentality, I believe for each one of you, especially those of you that struggle with that, this is going to be a year where God shows you how futile it is to hang on to that. You can't. You cannot hang on to that and go where you want to go. This is why early on in Blazing Fire, we said this all the time. I am blessed and highly favored. We preached on this. Over and over again, I am blessed and highly favored. How about you? You really, really are. You are blessed and highly favored all the time. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when you think things are going your way. But it's amazing once you actually start to adopt the truth that you are incredibly blessed. You have a God who adores you, who is absolutely for you all the time. When you finally adopt the truth that you are blessed and you are highly favored all the time, you will be amazed how your life starts shifting to actually look like it. It's amazing. I understand that every single person in this room, if we wanted to, we could get in little groups of threes and fours and we could have some really good griping sessions about all that's not going right in our lives. I understand that. If we want to pick out the bad, we can find it. It's there. But I am telling you, there is a different way. There's a totally different way. And that's the way that God is inviting us into, of saying, you know what, my children, you are blessed beyond measure. And the more you agree with me, you are going to see that blessing just pour it out and pour it out in your life. You know what? I think I'm gonna pass through these. Those are good, but I want to get to something else. Just one more from them. Beloved, pay attention and observe. Things that have been problematic and uncertain will now begin to be settled and fall into place. You will suddenly be aware that your inward struggle and worry did not help one bit. Beloved, pay attention and observe. Things that have been problematic and uncertain will now begin to be settled and fall into place. You will suddenly be aware. Now, suddenly be aware. Gosh, how did that happen? Must be the Lord, because it wasn't you. That's what I'm telling you is happening. Are you getting this? This is God breaking in saying, I've got to make you aware. Otherwise, you can't be free. Okay? So suddenly, you will be aware that your inward struggle and your worry did not help one bit. Let this time be a mile marker in your journey that will always bring to remembrance the certainty of my mercy and grace. Amen. So, here's one more that I want to do. I love this one. This was another one that came on the Elijah list December 30th. Robert Ricciardelli. Sorry, Robert, if you're ever listening to this CD someday. But I'm trying to give you credit. He wrote, I don't know if any of you saw this, but he wrote What Ifs. What Ifs to ponder as we elevate in 2008. Now, I want to tell you as I read this, the reason why I love this so much is because so many of these what ifs are absolutely our core values that we're living in greater and greater dimension. And so, again, this is not intended to beat you all down, but it is intended to get you to think, get us all to think out beyond our own scope and into the scope of the kingdom, what God really intends. So just listen to some of these. Just ponder some of these, all right? What if we could forgive every wrong ever committed against us in the past swiftly in the days ahead? Think about these. If, in other words, well, I'm going to tell you at the very end of the good news, but just think about this. Think about this. What if we could forgive every wrong ever committed against us in the past swiftly in the days ahead? So there's always going to be reasons why you can hold offense and have unforgiveness. But what if it only took us minutes or seconds instead of days or weeks or months? What if we allowed his presence to eradicate bitterness from the depths of our souls? What if we realized and applied his freedom from every deliberate and unintentional wound of our childhood? See, there's a lot of sozo inner healing ministry going on in the body because it's needed. But I will tell you that Christ already paid for it all. So those ministries are getting you in touch with what Christ has already done for you. So what if we realized and applied his freedom from every deliberate and unintentional wound of our childhood? Here's another one. What if we were never a victim again because the revelation of Christ and his grace sufficed daily for us? What if we were never a victim again? Can you imagine what would the body of Christ, this amazing end time army, how powerful it would be if none of us were ever a victim again? What if we could forgive ourselves and move past the shame simply because Jesus has forgiven us? There's a novel concept. You see, we're talking about what ifs, and you understand these are all done. I'll just tell you that. That was my punchline later, but I'll just tell you that now. So that you can be thinking about it along the way. What if we accepted and believed with all our heart, soul, and mind that Jesus loves us, accepts us, and is for us every moment of every day, just the way we are? Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard that message preached in 100 different ways. But what if we all actually accepted and believed that with all our heart? What would that look like?
It looks like here.
What if we could just rest in who we are in Christ? Rather than running around doing activities, some of which He never called us to do. What if? What if all fear was eradicated from our lives? We could spend a half an hour Selah on that one right there. Half an hour pause. What would the body of Christ look like if not a single one of us had any fear left in our life? Oh my goodness. My. What if we really believed God loved us and it had nothing to do with our past or future performances? You've heard that many times here before. That's why I love these. So many of them are just exactly what we preach week in and week out. And I see the change happening in you because you're believing the truth. What if pastors and leadership teams around the world would train and release every member of their church into the ministry of the Lord that the Lord called them to, and especially beyond the four walls of the organized church? Welcome to the new wineskin. And that is what God's doing more and more. What if citywide transformation begins to take place because each individual realized their purpose and calling and was released to fulfill it? Because that's what would happen. Believe me, I'm skipping a lot of these. There's just so many good ones, though. What if every church pastor sought relationship with the other pastors of the community to fulfill a citywide vision beyond their own ministries? And they realized that their vision for the city could not be fulfilled without partnering with others. I will just stop for a minute to tell you that more and more that's exactly what's happening. God put this on my heart probably 15 years ago, something like that. And it's taken a lot of different stages and twists and turns along the way. But as a result, I've actually been in the same place in this valley for, what has it been, 17 years, something like that, 18 years. And I know, and I'm very good friends with a whole lot of pastors in this region. And in fact, twice a year, we host them all together. We gather them all together. Last time, there was about 80 pastors and ministry leaders around the Bay that gather together just for the sake of encouraging each other with what God's doing and praying for each other and blessing each other and had nothing to do with trying to promote an event, but simply because that's God's heart. So I just want to tell you, it's happening, and because I know God did it for me, and I was a person who was very much focused on my own thing, my own little, trying to build my own little kingdom, and He had to take me away from that and say, you know what, son, that's never going to work. That's not my plan. So I just wanted to take a quick time out to tell you, because I want to encourage you, not only is it happening in individual lives, some of the things we're talking about, but corporately. If you're not aware of this, there is a huge change going on. But sometimes because, that ship moving slowly, sometimes you don't see it moving. But I want to tell you, from where it was even a decade ago, that ship's made a huge turn already. I'm glad you finally applauded for my message. I thought that was a really good point too. Thank you, Doug. We're into some what ifs here. What if we realized that the Lord owned everything that we have and he asks us to steward everything? What if we really realized that? What if kingdomized people begin to bring kingdom authority to all the gates of the city so that we would lead the way in government, business, healthcare, media, law, educational jurisdictions of our cities, families? I can go on and on. But what if we all realize that? Our authority in Christ. All right, here's one. What if we would accept others and the blessing they are rather than be offended by them in our differences? What would that look like if the entire body of Christ accepted others, those who know Jesus and those who do not yet know him, as the blessing that they are, made in Daddy's image, rather than be offended by them in our differences? Wow, that would be radical. What if we were all willing to serve in every phase of our lives rather than being served? What would happen if every believer realized the lifetime process we are in and could walk without judging those not as far along in the process? Hey, these are really good. Almost sounds like the kingdom to me. What if we chose to forgive in every situation because it was in our heart to love in that kind of way? What if spiritual fathers and mothers would be motivated with a heart of giving to their spiritual sons and daughters that far outweighs any thoughts of what they would receive in return? Here's one. What do you think the body of Christ would look like if every single one really communicated intimately with the Father on a daily basis? I think that would look really cool. What if every believer was more concerned about being the Father's change agents for people, families, and communities, rather than holding on and waiting for Jesus to remove them from the very earth he desires them to change? Just a couple more. What if the earth really was filled with the glory of the Lord, and he is just waiting for us to get involved? What if the earth really was filled with the glory of the Lord, and he was just waiting for us to get involved? What if he really meant every single thing he said? That was just my what if. What if we loved as he loves? What if we did what he did and even greater things? So as I told you in the beginning, there's really good news here. You ready for this? It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's really good news. Because everything on that what if list, Christ has already done for us. Every last one of them. It's already been done. It's all done. So what if it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me? Then that would make every single one of those things on that list absolutely perfectly doable, wouldn't it? Did you know in 1 Corinthians 3, it's verses 21 to 23, but it explains that everything is yours? in Christ, everything is yours. Not someday, but now. That means you have all resources, especially the Holy Spirit Himself in you, to live that life. Because it's already been lived for you.
Wow.
That the exchange life, it's already been lived for you. See, and we're still stuck in trying to do better for God. And that's why we're stuck. Because we've missed the whole point. And did you know that all of those what ifs have been purchased for you through Christ, who is the yes and amen to all of God's promises? You have to understand, the heart of the Father has always been, I want a people who perfectly display who I am. That's always been His heart. The world's going to know me because they're going to see it in you. It's always been His heart. For generations, they tried to do it. Didn't work. Couldn't work. And God knew it. He actually knew that it couldn't work. Because He always had a plan. To send Jesus to be the perfect representation of the Father. And He said, I got one better than that. He's going to live inside of you. His Spirit, Christ's Spirit inside of you. To do for you what you absolutely cannot do for God. God said, that's all right. I got it covered. But I am looking for people who agree with that exchange. So I want to tell you that we right here, I mentioned earlier as we were worshiping and just enjoying the Lord, I said we were on a journey, right? We were trying something out here. We were saying, hey, what would happen if we really went after God and just enjoyed His presence? What would that look like? Let's try to find out. And we have. And here's what we found out, is that the more we enjoy Him, the more we receive His love and pleasure, it starts pouring out of us without us even trying. So that we're just changed and we're affecting the world. And it wasn't because we thought it was a really good thing to do for God, even though it is. But He said, remember, He said that He has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Remember that?
Ephesians.
So that's my encouragement to you. I want to read one last paragraph just to remind you, and then we're going to... Oh, actually, before you, we have a testimony. Okay? I'm just going to read it one more time. This was the word that I wrote a few days ago. I am God saying to you, I am pouring out new wine for us to taste together. In fact, I have reserved a choice vintage bottle in my heavenly wine cellars for 2008 just for you. It tastes like sweet victory. Inhale the fragrance of my pleasure for you. Let my grace and tenderness and mercy roll over your tongue. Savor the intimacy with me coming this year. This year, I am opening the eyes of your heart wider than ever to know that this is all true, and my jealous love will accomplish this. That's really good news. Now what we're going to do, why don't you come on up, Deborah and Jim, come on up. We're going to have Deborah and Jim share. They just came back from Nicaragua with Georgian and Winnie and others. They're going to share for a couple minutes, and then we're going to turn it over to Georgian. And this is just a perfect intro to you, because they even have some pictures to show. But what I want you to get out of this is that this is... exactly what we're talking about, Christ in you, the Father's love pouring through you and out, and how it just totally changes us. So you need a microphone.
Should we just hold the pictures there for a minute? Thank you. All right. Oh, it's Jim's sound booth.
No, you can
Jim.
Stay there.
Okay. You can stay there. Well, what an honor. And come over here. Not so far away. Nueve Vino, what an amazing end.
to 2007. And what an amazing beginning to 2008. And Georgian and Winnie do not need any bidding. And God does not need any bidding. But my lives were changed there. And Brent, you are right regarding glory of God being in the earth. And I'll share more about that later, because you find them in surprising places. But I think that Jim had some, I know, well, it was just an honor to be with him on this trip. And I know he would love to share from his heart a little bit. Thank you.
It's kind of hard being back. In fact, we're in the process of making plans to take our family down this summer. And I think to sum it up, I'll just share one little incident that happened. There's so many. My mind is still reeling from lots of stuff. One of the things that impressed me on this trip was the ministry model of breaking through in praise and worship, and kind of making an opening in a neighborhood through praise and worship, and then fanning out into the neighborhoods and talking to people. And it wasn't an intellectual kind of thing, we're just preaching, you know, and explaining to them things, but we broke through in a spiritual manner. And then just bringing in joy and dancing and craziness and lightening things up in a gloomy place. There's a lot of gloom and a lot of downhearted folks. And I love the ministry model. But we were up in Matagalpa, and I was with my roommate. We were hanging out together as partners, and the street crusade was just kind of starting to get going, and they were moving up and down the streets, and we split off really early, my partner and I, and a guy got our attention off to the side, and we went over, and we chatted with him, and shook hands, and prayed a blessing over him and his family that was there, and then he had invited us in. Into his home, so we pulled up some plastic chairs there in his home, and sat down. We had a home group going, and he had his wife turn on some tunes in the back, and I started to listen. These are Christian songs. They weren't songs that I recognized, but I recognized some phrases in there and some words. These are worship songs, and Spanish tunes, and he cranked them up and. He grabbed our hands and pushed them up in the air, and he wanted to have a worship time there with us, and then he got his daughter and some other, you know, they were gathered around, and we had a worship time in his house, and then he started to tell us about he'd been in a car wreck and he was really hurting, and so I reached around, gave him a hug, and JR, my friend, and I we prayed for him there, and then he kind of stretched a little bit. It's like, yeah. He started feeling better, and he was more flexible, and then pretty soon he said, come with me, and he took us out back, and there was a little like what we would use for like a tool shed, but there's a family living back there, and a young couple, and in their 20s, and it was real gloomy back there, and we went in and. There was a lady stretched out on her, face down on the bed, and my buddy JR said the first thing that occurred to him was, this lady's dead, and I thought, that's probably the case, and they had her kind of wrapped up there, and flowers there, I think, they tried to keep a real dignified kind of thing by her bed, and so JR started, and I sat down on the bed and put my hand on her back, and JR took her by the feet, and we were praying desperately. I just really felt like this is, you got to do something here, God. And I felt like he was gonna. And so we prayed up a storm, And then after, I mean, she was absolutely, completely motionless. There was no discernible respiration. I mean, she was face down, but her back wasn't moving. There was nothing flinched, nothing moved. She was just like a sack of potatoes laying there. And, yeah, I think so. Yep. But after a little bit, I saw her back started going up and down, and up and down, and up and down. And it was like, yes. Yes. And then my partner, JR, he noticed, he was looking at her face a little more, and he noticed that she reached up to wipe away a tear. And now, I wish she had sat up on her bed and we could talk with her. And I wish I was really hoping for that part. But at least we saw her breathing and she was starting to move a little bit. And so, and then we had to kind of get out and rejoin the team. I didn't want to miss everything that was going on, so I kind of had to balance stuff going on there. But it was so cool, and we exchanged information, and that was just one of many, many incredible signs and wonders.
There were many miracles, and I experienced two, and they were the same miracle in different people, where they had withered left arms, and they like ran to me, and God has given me this ministry, at least for this trip, and they ran to me, and they would extend this arm that they couldn't even stretch out, and I would massage it and just pray, and God, you know, both of these men ended up praising the Lord and clapping their hands and having it in full 100% healing. One threw away medication. I don't even know what it was. He just threw it away. But what I came away with was a heart that has been totally changed. I did not know that I could do this. And I went forward in faith, and God just met me every step of the way. Profoundly. The Father's love is basically what I saw in everything. On the last day, we went to the garbage dump, and I guess the pictures could go, because to me, what surrounded everything, Jim, no pictures? Okay, cool. That's all right. What surrounded everything was to me the Father's love. It had gone before us and it was in us. And even in the garbage dump, I was initially almost afraid to touch the children's clothes. They were so stiff from the dirt and the filth. And you're breathing this ground, you know, this burnt ash. It's all over your body. You leave and it's up to your filthy, up to your knees in this black dirt, you know, right? And somehow or another, going on this trip, I said, well, God, how does this happen? I guess I'm going to have to shut something down, and I'm going to get through this stuff, and God's going to minister. But it's totally the opposite. What you do is you open something up, and you look with God's eyes, and it's the most amazing experience in the world to realize this is something you can apply every day. It's awesome. We had a fire tunnel, and this is my lasting impression, and I'll never forget it. There was this one little boy, and in this squalor, his spirit was so amazing, and what God told me was, well, you may not know if his heart's with God, but I know his heart's with, you know, I'm his heart is with me. I've got his heart covered. And so he goes through this fire tunnel. And I don't know if I can do it now, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'll make a fool of myself, because it was pretty amazing. This is what this two-year-old little boy does who's practically losing his shorts, you know, going through this tunnel. That's it. 50 times. I think maybe 50 times. There was this proudness. I can't stick my chest out as far as he did. I mean, it was like, and he was so cool. And then the senior pastor that we were hooking up with on almost all of this stuff, the whole, you know, he went through the tunnel and I'm going, Arturo, adopt him, adopt him. We got to get him out of here. And God is telling me, no, he's right where I need him to be. And I'm like going, okay, I got it. I got it. You know, and it's our human eyes when we see this stuff that it's really hard, but it's not. God's there. He's there. And yeah. I'm ready for my next trip, which will be in September, God willing. I'm praying for Mozambique. You guys will have me. I'm forever changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Global Celebration. Thank you, Nicaragua. And I know that there's hurting people all over the place, and this is what God put on my heart. I'm not going to go to Nicaragua this next year, but I'm going to be going somewhere else. And it's all about the partnering. It's all about the people that are still there in the country that are doing the work that we can support from here. So I'm just a zealot now. I praise God.
That's so good. Oh, that's so good. Wow. Well, this is the time when we're going to turn it over to Georgian. And God's just put it on my heart because through these testimonies, through whatever Georgian shares, God may touch your heart to want to give to them. So I just, what I want to do is put this up here for you. If you want...